This Thanksgiving Day, we look to an example of God's people giving thanks unto God in a prayer of thanksgiving found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Please follow along as I read God's Word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of that purchased possession, all to the praise of His glory. Amen. May the Lord add the blessing that only He can bring into the reading of His perfect, unchanging Word. Let us pray. Oh Father, we thank You for this holy Word of the Gospel that You have revealed unto us. We know there is absolutely no error, there can be no error, for it comes from God, in whom all is perfection. You are a faithful God, and even today You give us a message. Be with him who speaks, that it would be only the words that are faithful and accurately applying Your gospel to us today. And help us as we listen and ponder and consider to be actively following along as we hear the gospel proclaimed. Spare us from distraction, from sin in our hearts, from unbelief. Move upon us that we would receive the gospel as it is proclaimed to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll see in the sermon, in the bulletin, the sermon title is that we are thankful for a fully blessed heart. Congregation, Thanksgiving weekend, as we know, is in our modern American culture anyway, marks the beginning of a season of discontent and unhappiness, a season of very unthankfulness. It's ironic that you start with a feast today to celebrate all the things we have to be thankful for, and then at 4 o'clock in the morning you get up and you go out and try to buy everything that you absolutely have so that way you can be thankful next Thanksgiving. Because if you don't get these things, if you don't watch this movie, if you don't have this particular relationship in this next year, you simply cannot be happy and you will not have anything to be thankful for next year. So Thanksgiving is really the day, is really the end of being thankful and the beginning of being unthankful until we get what we want in the next month or so. That's really the way it works in our culture. Our contentment today, you see, is very short-lived and really perhaps is not true contentment at all. But as Christians, even though we live in this culture and in this world, we're not to be of this world, the Bible says. Jesus has saved us out of this crooked and perverse generation. Christians are not slaves to any person, to any fad, to any entertainment plan. We are free to serve Christ because our hearts have been purchased by Him, and our hearts find happiness not in the here and now, but in the eternal. We worship an eternal God. We obey His eternal book that has been given to our eternal soul. And what is the eternal truth? Our scripture this Thanksgiving gives us a beautiful summary of a number of eternal truths that God has revealed in His Word. We read in these verses about who we are, our meaning in life. Our happiness is not wrapped up in having the latest clothes, the newest automobile, the latest technological gadget. We're thankful because we have hearts that are fully blessed. In a few hours, we're going to have full stomach. God reminds us that already, if you're a Christian at least, you have a full heart. You have a full heart. A full life. Before the earthly feast begins because of what God has done for us. And so the Apostle Paul says, give thanks to God because our hearts are fully blessed. There's three main blessings that are described in the verses that we read. And they are the blessing that we are elected, that we are redeemed, and that we are sealed. God gives us a guarantee that we belong to Him. We are elected by the Father, redeemed by the Son, and sealed by the Spirit. Each of these is described as a spiritual blessing. Verse 3 says they are part of every spiritual blessing that God has poured out upon us. And that's why the sermon says that this is a full blessing. Our hearts are fully blessed. Our wallets might not be as full this year, but our hearts are as fully blessed as ever. So take comfort. A Christian can weather any economic storm because our trust and hope is not in riches, but in the God who owns the whole universe that He created, has elected us, redeemed us, and sealed us by His Spirit. He has a mansion waiting with room enough for all of His people. Your reservation has been made through Jesus. Praise Him today. Well, let's look at this first blessing, the blessing of being elected by the Father. Our hearts are fully blessed in Christ. You see, God doesn't wait around for us to figure out how to get saved. God doesn't wait around for us to ask Jesus into our hearts before He decides to send Jesus into the world to die for us. In verse 4 of our text, we read that God chose us in Christ. He elected us and chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, just this last Sunday, we had the blessing in this congregation of learning from the book of Job that no human was there when God founded the world. Only God was there. And here this verse says, even before God laid the foundation of the world. And certainly nobody was there then either. God was there and He chose us in Christ. Before you were ever born, children, before your parents were ever born, before Abraham was ever born, before Adam was ever created, God chose you by name and loves you in Christ. This blessing of God's election of us is not taught by this or that particular kind of church in America today. This is taught in the Bible, and that's why we believe it and understand it. It is taught in the Old Testament where we read in Deuteronomy 7, God is putting Israel in its place, and they think, well, God, you chose to save me because you knew I wouldn't be as naughty as those other people over there. And God said, no way. Not because you were better than anyone else, or because you were a bigger country than anyone else, or had more to offer me, or because I looked down and saw what you would do after I saved you, and how you would try to live a good life. None of that. You're just as wicked as the rest. But I chose you, and I love you, and I saved you. This is the teaching of the Bible, an Old Testament, a New Testament, our passage in Minyavis. This is good news, because if God left it up to us, we wouldn't have much to be thankful for today. We wouldn't be saved at all if it was up to us to get saved, because we would never choose for Christ. He chooses us. Our hearts are dead in reading the newspaper, looking at the moral standards of our world, demonstrates very clearly what happens when somebody is not chosen by God. We each do what is right in our own eyes, and we cause sin and misery for ourselves and everyone whose path we cross. So thank God that He has elected you. You might not feel much like a Christian some days. You look at your own sins and the ways you've disgraced God, and you've disgraced your family and disgraced the church and the glory of Christ that you could have given to Him, but you haven't this past year. But then we come today and remember that we can be thankful not because of what we have done with God's grace, but because God has given His grace and chose me for His child. God says He never takes His gift back. No returning. When He gives it, cannot be changed. He doesn't take it away. If you are saved now, then you will never lose that salvation, not because of how good you are or how strong you are, but because of how strong your Savior is. And notice in our text in verse 5 why it is that God would choose us. One of the reasons He would choose us is so that He could put us somewhere. We don't just get saved and immediately go up to heaven. But He chose us and places us in a family. He's predestined us to be adopted into His family. And adoption is a beautiful illustration to be used for how we get saved. My family adopted a cat a couple of months ago. This cat could not choose to be part of our family. We chose whether or not to keep it. When a parent wants to adopt some kid from the orphanage, they choose which kid or whether or not to adopt at all. God is the one who makes the decision, and He adopts us into His family. At Thanksgiving, we celebrate family certainly as well, and we give thanks to God for that family. We see a number of our family members that are here with us today from near and far. We're thankful for that. And we might even find a certain sense of pride and honor in our family roots. Maybe your family was part of some organizing group of churches here in Newton in the 1850s or in other places. But God tells us today, think about the comfort from your spiritual family roots. These roots were created before the creation of the world itself. And remember that. We all used to be members of a different family. A wicked family. A family that only knew sin and hatred for God. But those old spiritual family ties have been broken, and we're in a new family now, with Jesus as our older brother, adopted into the family. And together we owe our entire allegiance and obedience to our Father who art in heaven. How is it that we get adopted into this family? We read in verse 6, it is by being accepted in the Beloved One. This is that Beloved Son in whom the Father is well pleased. We are chosen in Christ. God doesn't just choose us just because. God doesn't do things arbitrarily with no reason. He chooses us because He loves Christ, His Son. He is the chosen one, Jesus, and we are chosen in connection with Christ. Jesus was elected so that He could be rejected for our sins. So that for us, when we are elected, we will never ever be rejected by God, because our sins are taken away by Jesus. Christ was holy and blameless for you and me, so that now we can be holy and blameless for Him. Christ was predestined to this family as the Son of God, so that now you and I can be adopted into this family. Christ praised God's glorious grace, and now you and I praise that grace today. Give thanks for the blessing of election. We're not here by chance, but by choice. God's choice. Chosen by God. Second reason to give thanks today is that not only are we elected, we're also redeemed. Redeemed by the Son. In verses 7 through 10, we see some of this explained. In verse 7, it just says it straight out. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood. What does redemption mean? It means to be bought, to be delivered. Someone paid the price for you. How much do you have to pay to buy a human soul? There's no Black Friday discount on human souls. Full price only. And what is the full price? Paying eternal punishment for body and soul. Because the wages of our sin, what we deserve, is eternal death. And that full price has to be paid if we're to have anything to be thankful for. And Jesus, we have that price paid. We have redemption. There are no Christmas deals, there are no Christmas sales the day Jesus bought your soul. He paid it all. Full price. You see how much He loves you? Greater love has no one than this, to lay down His life for His friend. And He says, you are my friend. He loves His people. He loves us and redeems us. We are bought by Christ. And notice how this verse says, we have redemption. It's not some potential, some future possibility. It's a present reality. You don't say today, I'm thankful, God, that someday I'll get saved. We say today, God, I'm thankful you have redeemed me. Or, if you're not redeemed, you don't have that to be thankful for at all. And that would be very sad. And so you have to ask yourself, is Christ your Redeemer? Are you aware that you need a Redeemer? That you are a sinner? Every one of us. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. We've broken the friendship that we were created to have with God, and every day we trample on God's goodness and His gifts. And we need His forgiveness every day. Remember, God doesn't redeem the righteous. Came to bring sinners to repentance. He redeems sinners and gives them Jesus' perfect righteousness and obedience. He has paid it all. He has obeyed it all for us. In God's eyes, our best is never good enough. Because God's perfect and we are all imperfection. in Jesus alone you have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. This redemption that God gives to us is described as an expression of God's wealth. In verse 8 it says, this is the riches of His grace which He has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence and understanding. It, literally you could say God has lavished His wealth upon us. He's opened the treasure chest and rained down from heaven all His blessings. God is not some Ebenezer Scrooge in the sky. God is not stingy with His grace. He pours out His wealth upon us, which is good because we've got a lot of sin that needs forgiving. We've got a lot of mess in our life that needs shaping up. And God's not stingy. He's got an answer. As we turn a little later, we see this wealth of God's grace described in Ephesians 3 at verse 18 and 19. Where the apostle again prays to God that we would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God's redemption of your soul is an expression of His wealth. You are wealthy today if you are redeemed. That's a reason to be thankful to God. The fact that you're hearing God talk to you today and that you understand what He's saying even is also a reason to be thankful to God. For our text goes on to describe that this redemption is the mystery of God's eternal will that's been revealed unto us in this fullness of time and God's purpose to gather people from all the corners of the earth, from all backgrounds, small religious and cultural backgrounds, men and women, boys and girls, and all who have been chosen from out of all these places would come and believe in Christ. You receive that message, you've been given that gospel today, you understand that royal plan. That's the reason to give thanks to God. We don't give thanks to God because we've got brilliant minds and we can read Hebrew and Greek forwards and backwards. And we understand the gospel because God has given it to us and revealed it to our hearts. We are elected. We are redeemed. And one last blessing to give thanks to God for, and that's that we are sealed by His Spirit. In verses 11 through 14, we see that we are sealed by God's Spirit. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all the blessings that He gives to us come from God. From all that He is. From His fullness. Election is a decision that God the Father made before He created the world. But it's a decision that He made because of who God the Son is and what He would do for us on the cross. And all that is nice and dandy, but does us no good unless the blessings of what Christ did for us on the cross come to our hearts today and are applied by God the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what the Bible says happened. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit involved in electing us. Also in redeeming us. According to God's plan, Jesus' blood bought our redemption. It was the Father's decision to take Jesus to the cross and the Spirit's work that applies that redemption to our hearts. And again, now we come to this idea of being sealed by the Spirit. There's an inheritance that comes from the Father, that comes to us, His children, applied through the Holy Spirit. But we're only in the family because of what the Son has done. But who is it that gives us this inheritance of being sealed with the Spirit? In verse 11, we read it. Comes from God. In Christ, in God, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined to this, according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. God's in control of everything that happens. Every moment throughout all history, God's in control of it all. And He's certainly also in control of guaranteeing into your heart today that you belong to Him, and sealing that
with his Spirit. You know you have an inheritance. It's nice to know you've got an inheritance coming. Especially if it's from some wealthy uncle or some wealthy relative. It's nice to know your name's in the will, isn't it? God tells us our name's in his will. God owns everything. Everything in the universe. Stars that you and I haven't seen. Galaxies that we could never travel to because we wouldn't live long enough if we could sit on a spaceship long enough to get there. God owns it all. And our name's in his will. Now think about it. God decided that your name is in his will. And if God decided something, is he going to change his mind? He sent his only son to die for you. Is he going to go back on that? Say, oh, Jesus, it was an accident. I'm sorry. What they did to you. He doesn't. He will give you your inheritance. He will. We don't have to worry about God changing his mind, writing us out of his will. He's already lavished his wealth upon us by electing us and redeeming us. And the wealth that we receive, even in this life, spiritually, physically, family and health, and everything we have, is just a down payment for the eternal riches that come in heaven. Indeed, we personally have been sealed and guaranteed for this inheritance through the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 tells us that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of your inheritance. Give me the proof. Show me the money. If you want to buy something, you don't have all the money right away, you got to sign. Sign your life away, sign your name, prove. They got your bank numbers. They'll get it from you somehow eventually with plenty of interest. That's the guarantee. The down payment paid. They'll get it. The down payment that God saves us. The guarantee, interestingly, is not the Bible. Though the Bible is full of all the promises, and we can always read it and see his guarantees. But the guarantee that you're in God's will, that you're going to heaven, is in your heart. The guarantee is God himself coming to you and making his home with you through his Holy Spirit. When we sing, as Christmas comes around, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, you remember, means God with us. And this is really one of the key promises of the entire scripture. God with us. God looks down from heaven above at all billions of people in the world. And yet he recognizes which ones belong to him. He recognizes them. He knows them by name. He doesn't lose us like we might lose our keys. He set his seal on our heart, his Holy Spirit. God is with his people. God was with Adam and Eve when they walked with God in the evening every day. God was with his people in the Old Testament through the tabernacle and the temple. God was with his people and dwelt there. And then in the New Testament, we read that Jesus came and lived in the tabernacle of his human flesh and dwelt with us. And now he sends us his Spirit so that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. God is with us. He's the down payment. And heaven will be completely with God. We won't be distracted by the things of this world. We won't be weighed down by our sins and worries and frustrations. And once again, we'll walk with God in the garden. Except then, the garden was a little bigger, grown to a city, as we read in Revelation. The new Jerusalem, a city whose builder and maker is God. We'll be united with God there, along with all his saints who have a room in his mansion. And God is with us. We don't have to live in the here and now. It's ultimately unsatisfying. You'll never be happy if the only source of your happiness is in the things and people in this world. You have an eternal foundation as a Christian. It's a rock-solid foundation. It's a foundation that began in eternity past, before the world itself was even created, when you were elected by the Father. Your spiritual blessings continued about 2,000 years ago, when you were redeemed by the blood of Christ. And your spiritual blessings continue to come upon you today through the sealing of God's Spirit. He's with you everywhere you go. You cannot leave Him. He is with you. This Thanksgiving, rather than getting caught up with the latest trends and fading fashion, remember the eternal truth of who you really are, despite what you really own. Who you really are. Why are you here? What makes life meaningful and happy and significant? Christ and Him alone. He's our only hope. He's our source of meaning. In Christ, our hearts are fully blessed. In Him, we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So praise God. Praise Him, from whom all blessings flow. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Great and glorious God, we do give thanks to You today. We thank You for Your marvelous plan. There indeed is in this survey of blessings You've given unto us so much to digest. The blessing of election alone is enough for us to ponder for an eternity. And then Your redemption through the blood of Christ. Why would You pay such a price for us instead of leaving us on our own? It's what we deserve. And yet in Your mercy and compassion, You've redeemed us, and we thank You. And then, O Lord, You also give us hope and comfort even now through Your Spirit, that no matter what problem and issue we face, what difficult road lie ahead, we know You, that we belong to You and You are with us. We can turn to Your Word, and You will, through Your Spirit, help us to understand Your grace and Your peace. We pray as You taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.